Hello, welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. In this month's episode, we find out how stress can disrupt what we find attractive. We also look at why friends are similar in attractiveness, as well as at whether it pays to save yourself the bother of choosing a mate and instead let someone else do the choosing for you. This is the April edition of the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast from oraclelab.co.uk. When we're stressed, we often notice changes in our mood or behaviour. We might become anxious, restless or forgetful, start eating too much or too little, or argue more frequently with our partners or family members. But one thing we may not consider is that stress can influence the type of people we find attractive. It's been known for some time that when animals are placed under stressful conditions, their mate preferences change. For example, certain species of insect or fish will make do with mates of lower quality if they're under greater threat from predators, most likely because it's more important to avoid being eaten than to search for the most attractive mate. Previous work in humans has shown that when women are asked to imagine themselves living in a stressful, risky environment, their preference for masculine-faced men decreases, as does men's preference for feminine-faced women. So, stress may cause us to lower our threshold of what we find attractive, just like it does in other animals. A recent study by Johanna Lass-Henemann of the University of Trier in Germany has contributed further to this bank of knowledge by examining how stress and pain affect men's preferences for similarity in their mates. Other researchers have shown that the old maxim, opposites attract, is generally untrue, and that in fact people prefer to pair up with others who resemble them both in terms of personality and appearance. Lass-Henemann and colleagues wanted to see whether stress disrupted this normal pattern of preferences. They split their male recruits into two groups. Half of the men placed their arm into a basin of ice-cold water and kept it there for 3 minutes, a task that we know causes mild stress. The other half of the men put their arm into a basin of warm water. Afterwards, all the men viewed a series of photographs of women, but what they didn't know was that the researchers had made some of these photographs resemble them. Lass-Henemann had combined photographs of the participants with the images of the women. This resulted in images that subtly resembled the participants, but not enough for it to be obvious. She found that men who were allocated to the warm water, low stress group responded more positively to self-resembling women, but men in the cold water, stressed group responded more positively to pictures of women who'd been made to resemble other, unfamiliar men. One possible explanation for this effect is that individuals under stress have a stronger preference for short-term relationships, because we know from the work of other researchers that we tend to prefer dissimilar partners more when we're looking for a casual fling as opposed to a long-term commitment. Because some people are more attractive than others, and attractiveness is valued, competition over the best partners is inevitable. And if there's competition, we shouldn't be surprised to find that the most attractive people tend to pair up with each other. Likewise, the next most attractive, and the next, and so on until everyone has found a partner to whom they're similarly attractive. What's less obvious is why friends should appear similar. Everyday observations would seem to suggest this is the case, but why should we care whether we and our friends are equally attractive? April Bleska-Racek and Melissa Lighthall of the University of Wisconsin tackled this very question in their recent paper published in the journal Human Nature. They took facial photographs of 46 pairs of young female friends, then had each rate whether they thought they were better looking than their friends, less good looking, or roughly similar. The faces were also rated by external judges, who didn't know the women. The researchers found that the friends were indeed similar in attractiveness. Better-looking women tended to have better-looking friends, and vice versa. Next, the women completed a questionnaire about their friendship, and some of the questions related to how much they competed with their friends over men. They expressed their agreement or disagreement with statements such as, "It's harder to meet guys when my friend is around," and "I feel in competition with her for attention from members of the opposite sex." The researchers found that women who were less attractive than their friend tended to report that they competed more strongly with her for access to desirable men. The bigger the difference in attractiveness between the friends, the stronger the competition for male attention. The researchers suggest that women may benefit from selecting friends who are about as attractive as they are themselves, because that helps them to attract men who both friends would find appealing. A woman who chooses a friend who is less attractive than she is might dissuade desirable men from approaching her. And if she chooses a friend who's more attractive than she is, she may find that all the good-looking men favour her friend. Interestingly, the researchers didn't find a connection between rivalry ratings and apparent differences in intelligence. Friends who looked like they were dissimilar in terms of intelligence didn't report more rivalry for men. This may betray the fact that men tend to be more interested in good-looking women than clever women, so a woman who's more intelligent than her best friend probably doesn't outcompete her for men. Yep, that's right, it all comes down to men being idiots. Again. Finally this month, have you ever thought that someone was attractive despite the fact that they were unavailable? Well, some researchers have shown that a person can be more attractive because they're unavailable. The reasoning goes like this. If someone has a partner, that partner must find them attractive. And if the partner finds them attractive, well, perhaps you should too. This is a pattern that we can see all over the animal kingdom, and it's normally used to save time and effort. For example, a female can spare herself the effort of individually evaluating every male by observing which male is getting the most attention from other females. If he's receiving more attention, he must be better. The effect is stronger if the females being copied are in some way more reliable. If they're older and more experienced at picking out attractive males, their choices are therefore more trustworthy. Jessica Yorzinski and Michael Platt of the University of California looked for this same effect in humans. They photographed men and women and then stitched the photographs together to create fake couples. Sometimes the couples were similar in attractiveness, and sometimes one member was more attractive than the other. These images were then shown to a new group of participants who were told that the couples were genuine. They were asked to rate the other sex person, or the target, for attractiveness. The researchers found that regardless of the actual attractiveness of the target individual, the participants found them more attractive if they were paired with an attractive partner. So, a man who saw a woman paired with an attractive man would think that she was more attractive than if he'd seen her paired with an unattractive man. She was more attractive purely because of her attractive partner. So the moral of the story is that if you want to snag yourself an attractive partner, then you should first snag yourself an attractive partner. Okay, I think I've spotted the problem with this theory. That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, head over to www.oraclelab.co.uk and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research throughout the month by following Oracle Lab on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris.